ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 52.
Brahmano vacha katvankasyasi kovayam shayano yasya shauchasi janasi king sakhayang mang yenagre vichacharta.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The Brahmin inquired as follows: Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I'm your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. Consultation with the super soul seated within everyone's heart is possible only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. One who is sincere and pure gets an opportunity to consult with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature sitting within everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within, and he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiator spiritual master. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the super soul sitting within the heart. An uncontaminated soul or living entity can get a chance to meet the Paramatma face to face, just as one gets a chance to consult with the Paramatma within his heart. One also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. Then one can take instructions from the super soul directly. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the super soul within the heart. When the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the super soul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instructions from his heart, from the super soul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped directly or indirectly by the spiritual master and the super soul. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. If a devotee serves his spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus the devotee becomes enriched by both the spiritual master and Krishna. The super soul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The super soul has always been ready to help the living entity even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, yenagre vichacharta. The word Agre means before the creation. Thus the super soul has been accompanying the living entity since before the creation. So the Brahmana is who? It's the super soul. We've been reading the story of Puranjana by Prabhupada's mercy. I think that's one of the favorite pastimes of many devotees, the Puranjana story. I remember in Miami, Kridananda Maharaj was going to write actually a novel all about the Puranjana story of modern day, because it so much reflects on life, how one wants to be the enjoyer, and somehow we're with Krishna in a spiritual kingdom where life is very happy, very blissful, no anxiety for Krishna, no anxiety for the living entity, and somehow or other we've left Krishna in the spiritual world, and we thought we'd give it a try, trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, become ourselves a little bit of a supreme enjoyer, Ishwaroham, Aham Bogi, Siddhohan, Balavan Sukhi, that everything's meant for my enjoyment. You know, why should we give everything to Krishna? Something for me too, you know? So, Krishna being the loving parent, father, I mean, Krishna expands in many ways, and this expansion, Vibhanaṃsha, the living entities are actually Krishna, little Krishnas, tiny little Krishnas, and Krishna is so powerful that he gives a minute independence to each and every living entity. So we are little tiny little Krishnas, independent Krishnas, but subordinate. But Krishna is a supreme provider for everyone. Although we are individual, he is everywhere and also individual. He does not lose his individuality. So somehow this Puranjana story is descriptive of the living entity falling into the material existence and becoming a king, you know, a very powerful personality, and going out hunting. The field of activities, the body is like the field of activities. And the jiva, jivatma, he is the cultivator of this field of activities. So whatever we do with this body, however we utilize it, we're going to reap some results. We're growing some sabjis and veggies and many different things. We're cultivating this field by our desire for sense enjoyment. So Puranjana did that, and had a very nice family, nice queen, nice kingdom, so much opulence and so much opportunity to enjoy in this material world. But then, as we were hearing yesterday, how the body starts aging, old age sets in, and you get a notice. Krishna is very kind. He gives you a notice. It's getting close to checkout time. You know, you go to many fancy hotels and enjoy the facilities and opulences, but then as the time comes to checkout time, you got to start packing all your things and get a little bit of anxiety. Okay, I'm leaving. Just like many of us leave. Also, I'm leaving. I'm leaving shortly. But I got something here. We're leaving shortly Vrindavan, or when you're leaving, you get a little anxious. So in the same way, the material body for Puranjana deteriorated, and because Puranjana was not providing for his family members, then his wife, his children, grandchildren, and all his dependence, because he was such a good provider, they would listen to him and respect him. But once you stop providing get old, needy, and now they have to take care of you, and you're no longer an asset, you're a deficit. You know, you become a bit of a burden. So then they start disrespecting. This is, of course, in the material existence. Of course, devotees are very conscientious to take care of their elderly and, appreciate. There is some culture. But then inevitable death takes every one of us. What's that famous saying that death and taxes? For sure, these things are sure things. You know, some things maybe you can doubt, maybe. But for sure, you're going to get taxed and death will come. For everyone, everyone in this material existence is leaving. And so at the time of death, if you've been to, in America they have funeral homes, and they decorate the body, they put all this embalming fluid and put some really nice clothes and powder the face and everything, and the body's lying there, so everyone's coming to offer their last respects. And it's a very, very solemn, you know, everyone's very serious and mourning. One time we were on traveling Sankirtan with my traveling Sankirtan partner, and somehow or other we ended up in a funeral home. And everyone was so serious and so morose and solemn. But I don't know how he did it. My partner somehow or other got everyone to in a happy spirit and started distributing some books, and he got everyone kind of in a joyful mood. But generally, people when a relative dies, they become very renounced, thinking that yes, I want to get serious about life. And so the super soul is actually giving us that kind of intelligence. The Lord in the heart has obviously been guiding us from life after life in so many varieties and forms of bodies. And he's sending his representatives. He impersonally incarnates so many times. We see so many gurus, and so much instruction is there. Why? Because Krishna really cares. When somebody really cares and has a deep love, then he wants to protect them. Is it when a parent, mother, or father sees the child's in danger, they become so crazy? Prabhupada tells one story. I guess he was referring to the affection that Ajamila had for his youngest son, Narayan. So naturally, the affection flows in that direction. Like if you pour a liquid, it flows in a natural slope. So the affection is there for the youngest child. And Prabhupada was in a room in Kanpur, I believe, and a little monkey, baby monkey, slipped through the bars into his room. And the mother freaked out completely, just went crazy, you know, screaming outside the bars, making a very, you could see it became hysterical because of fearing the danger of the child being possibly lost, and Prabhupada managed somehow or other to push out the baby monkey, and then, you know, the monkey embraced the little, you know, don't do it again, and took off. So Krishna, he's actually feeling anxiety, great anxiety, that we've wandered to this world and thinking that we can find some happiness here. But that's really tolerance too, because he won't interfere with our independence. That you want to forget, you want to think you're the big man, the enjoyer. Maybe we can enjoy, and then at the very end, you know, just give it all up and then really surrender with sincerity. But it takes practice. It's like a dancer on the stage to think that I'm not going to go to rehearsal, I'm never going to practice. But at the time of the performance, I'm just going to get out and do it spontaneously. You're going to spontaneously trip and fall over on your head. Because without practicing, without really applying yourself I mean, these are maybe examples, but no one is a proficient musician unless they practice. They have to practice. I mean, some people maybe naturally have God-given or from previous life natural abilities, but the general, you're not going to get that honorary degree without going to school. It's a rare thing. So the guru is sent by Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. We're wandering throughout the universe, but by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, they plant the seed. And Prabhupada, you know, to set the example, his whole life was an example. It appears as though he lived a family life. He endeavored for doing business, simultaneously keeping his Krishna consciousness, then meeting his spiritual master. Although his spiritual master asked that you go and preach, he thought, yes, I will go, but first I want to do this and do that. And Prabhupada said Krishna was so kind that he just took everything away. For those he loves, Krishna just takes everything away. And sometimes we feel, but why does devotees have to suffer? Why devotees also have to meet with difficulties? Why do the Pandavas have to meet with difficulties? Why did Queen Kunti have to meet with difficulties and pray to Krishna? Let the difficulties come as long as you stay with us, because you're forced to remember God. They say in the battlefield, when you're in they call it foxhole, there's, you know, shooting going on and people are killing each other all around. There's no atheists in the foxhole. They're all praying very sincerely. Because when you're confronted with death and such a reality, then you pray, God, get me out of this difficult situation. I promise this time I will be genuinely sincere and dedicated. Give my time and energy for your pleasure. So this Brahmana, he is, as he says here, that you're lamenting for this dead body, but don't you recognize me? I'm your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. So we pray, people pray. People pray to the Lord, sometimes on a mundane level. When you go to church, you pray, please protect my brother, my mother, my sister, my friend. You know, these are certain prayers. And please give us, you know, food on our table. And, you know, we're thankful for the food. So this is a preliminary recognition of God and appreciation of God. In one sense, praying to the super soul or communicating on some level. Just like, was it Dhruva Maharaj? During his meditation, he saw the super soul within his heart manifest. He had a deep meditation by performing under the guidance of his spiritual master, chanting the mantras and performing the tapasya, because that's what it's all about. Tapasya means voluntarily accepting things which you normally would not accept for your spiritual advancement. Isn't it like in a cold, taking a cold shower? Who's still doing that? Anyone still taking cold showers in the cold? Or you got those geezers going? I think the geezers are working pretty good here in Vrindavan. But Dhruva Maharaj performed tapasya to such a degree, in although a very young age, he had darshan with the Lord in his heart. Then somehow that darshan broke and the Lord was manifest outside, is it? So the Lord's in the heart and also became present before him. Then again he disappeared. So we have the Vapu, the physical presence of our spiritual master, who ultimately is none different than God. They say Jesus is the Son, is God himself, Lord Jesus. In one sense it's true. Prabhupada is God himself. The Guru is God himself. Only in the understanding that Krishna is the original instructor. He's the original Guru. So the Guru is representative of God. He's speaking what God is speaking. He's delivering the mercy of God. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. none different than God. But we should not make the mistake that, oh, Prabhupada is God. Because even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely rejected the idea he'd cover his ears and run for the Ganges to purify himself from being called God, because he's setting the example. The Guru does not claim to be God, but sometimes the foolish disciples think, oh, this is God. It is, but you have a misunderstanding, because he is the representative of God, very dear to God, and giving us the message, the supreme message of the Supreme Lord, how to go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. And it's described that tadviri pranipate na pariprasnena seva upadekshanti te gyanam gyanas tatvadarshana, that we have to render service to the spiritual master, we have to be obedient to the spiritual master. And it says that one should not surrender to a guru unless, that's why actually many times, especially when Prabhupada was here, people would have to wait for a year or so, because to make sure, by studying the books, associating with devotees, following the process of hearing and chanting, that you are convinced that my spiritual master can free me from the cycle of birth and death. Because if you so-called surrender, but then have a challenging spirit, or think that you're smarter than your guru, or maybe he doesn't really know everything, you know, then there's no need to surrender, because then this is not advantageous or fruitful. So this vapu, service to the physical form, is important, and it's described that sometimes, you know, the guru, as he becomes elderly, he may go to near bhajana and perform extra hearing chanting, so some disciples assist him in this process. But when the guru leaves, the devotee continues this vani seva, because we're always servants. Seva is always part of our nature. Either we're serving our lust, our anger, our greed, our mental dictations, our family members, serving our so-called country, our homeland, and nationalistic spirit. We all have that service propensity. Even the king is serving his subjects. So this vani seva is serving the instructions of the spiritual master. And the instructions are very clearly given. As Gunaranava Prabhu was saying yesterday, that when you have a long purport, that means it's very important. So Prabhupada is stressing that the Lord, the Super Soul, Paramatma, He is there. Don't think that this is just some concoction of words. It sounds like a good philosophy that, you know, okay, I understand this body made of earth, water, fire, air, it comes from earth, it's going to end up in the earth. As all scientists or people, Prabhupada would ask, what is the difference between a live body and a dead body? Is it the blood? The air? Is it the breathing? The bellows breathe. You know, Prabhupada gives the example. Or we have some blood, we can inject some blood into the body. We can put, you know, air, blood. What chemicals are missing? Just like the scientists who claim that through chemical combination he can create life. So Swarup Damodar, he is PhD, also in California, he said, my dear sir, if I give you these chemicals, can you produce life? That I cannot say. So the Nobel Prize given to such a person who claims that by chemical combination he can create life. But then when asked that, well, I'll give you those chemicals, can you create life? That I cannot say. Then Prabhupada said that the Nobel Prize givers and the receivers are all just asses, camels, hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, because they have no understanding of scripture. They have no understanding that the body is different than the soul. And above the soul is a super soul. And that super soul is sitting, watching us eating the fruit of material enjoyment. We're all trying to. And when you bite that bitter fruit and break your teeth on the seeds and start understanding that this fruit is not really giving me any happiness. Matter of fact, you know, I'm suffering, feeling great pain. And then slightly turn to our friend, the super soul. This is the guru. Krishna is guiding us, giving us good intelligence. You know, what makes a person good or obedient to follow the laws of God? This is religion, following the laws of God. So we have a sense that, you know, like when you see someone maybe torturing a little animal, or what to speak of, Prabhupada tells a story of this one man had a chicken, and he had his son right there, and he cut the head of the chicken. The chicken is running around everywhere. Blood is spurting, and the baby's crying, and he's laughing, thinking this is a very, you know, what's the big deal? It's just a chicken running around with no head, you know. And so, in one sense, the Lord is showing most people, unless you're, you know, mentally deranged, that what is right and what is wrong. And this is the whole way of learning to hear Krishna in the heart, because we know what we're doing, and when we do something wrong, we know it's not the right thing. So the spiritual master is very, very clearly spelling out the process of self-realization, how to awaken that love for Krishna. It's covered over. Krishna's trying to lead us to the oasis, because we're suffering, we're burning up in this desert of material existence, but Krishna's guiding us how to get to that oasis where there's real nectar, real happiness, real pleasure. And that conviction, that determination, how's that verse go? Utsahan nishchayat taryat tat tat karma parvartana. That we need enthusiasm. If you're not enthusiastic, how can we achieve our goals? Materialists are very enthusiastic. If they want to build a huge skyscraper, they got to really dedicate themselves and get all their resources and really be behind it and pushing it. And so we need the enthusiasm that in this lifetime, somehow, I don't know what causeless mercy came, how Prabhupada has made us so fortunate to be able to sit in front of Sri Sri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shama Sundar, sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada in the holy Sri Vrindavan Dham. And so we've, in one sense, been blessed. So we should take that blessing to a higher level and try to muster up the enthusiasm to have the preaching spirit, that we want to give others also the opportunity to have Krishna. This is the Sankirtan mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is Prabhupada's mood, because Prabhupada is fulfilling the mission of Srila Rupa Goswami, the Goswamis. They give up everything. They give up their, like, almost kingly positions, their wealth, their respectable positions where people are ready to do whatever they want, only for the benefit of all the fallen conditioned souls. I wrote so many books and revitalized Vrindavan and Radhakund, Govardhan, and following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, and all the followers of Srila Prabhupada. We are trying to also distribute this message of Krishna consciousness, and we should do it enthusiastically. When Prabhupada, I see sometimes, you know, in front of interviews or meeting people, just that conviction, when someone is very convinced and very powerful, determined, you can see that. And that determination and that power grows by following the scientific process of Krishna consciousness. By coming and singing before the deities, reciting the prayer, Sangsara Dava, the morning prayers, and actually praying to Tulsi Devi that somehow or other, please give me residence in the pleasure grove of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Let me be your servant only by your mercy. And praying to the Guru, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, that only a drop of your mercy. I have no qualification. It's not that we are greatly qualified or that we were the top of our class, so we've excelled to this platform of being fortunate to come to Vrindavan. It's causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna. And somehow, if we can also spread this blessing, this mercy of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, you know, trying to, just like we have the BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Satyanarayan Prabhu is translating in many languages. How many languages do we have Prabhupada's books in now? 59 languages. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, Prabhupada, books are the basis. Preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle. And purity is the force. Just see that. Books are the basis of everything. Because this vani, this instruction is so valuable and so important. Because the more we hear in the association of devotees, then we'll want to chant. Why? Because we heard that Krishna is in his holy name. Krishna is in that sound vibration. And when we're singing Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not just the melody or the rhythm or how loud it is. It's the feeling in the heart that we're actually calling out to Krishna for service, and we're praying to Krishna, and Krishna's there. Krishna's hearing and reciprocating. Lord Chaitanya's dancing in the kirtan. We might not have the eyes to see, but wherever Krishna says, I'm not in the heart of the transcendentalists or those great yogis, but wherever my devotees are together calling out and chanting my holy name, I am there. And so we should pray to the Lord in the heart. We should worship the Guru as non-different than Super Soul. Follow the instructions of Krishna. And in this way, we can actually be as fortunate as Puranjana, who took the form of a woman, married Mayalavaja? And then he became her spiritual master. It's the whole sequence of Bhagavatam. The stories are not just stories, but they're so informative, and they reflect on life as it is in this material world and what people go through, the struggle that they undergo, and then also the opportunity for perfection, ultimately meeting that Brahmana, Krishna, who manifests himself. Who else did Krishna appear to? That was that Madhavendra Puri was sitting and meditating, and Krishna came and gave milk. So Prabhupada would often say, these are not stories or some mythology or just somebody's fanciful imagination. This is history, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's there for our benefit. So we should take advantage of that. And hopefully that Krishna will be pleased that we go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom, and stop struggling and suffering in this material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So anyone have any questions, comments, corrections? Yes. Do you have a microphone or no? Why is Krishna so complicated? why everything around God is so complicated. Well, this material world, all the universes, everything are made only because the living entities wanted to enjoy separately. Because if you take a fish out of water, and you try to give it chapatis, or you try to give it, you know, samosas, or fan it, or, you know, flower garland, the fish says, everything's very complicated. I want to go back in the water, because no matter what you do on the shore for the fish, it's just miserable. Misery. So, we don't belong here. That's why it's so complicated, because it's a foreign land. It's not really meant to be here for a long time. And we've been in this material existence trying again and again and again, but we don't succeed. There's no success. So it's very complicated. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, the banyan tree, it describes it has unlimited roots. The banyan tree has so many roots going this way, going that way. It's very, very complicated. It's complicated just to frustrate us and have us open our eyes and make the inquiry, who am I? Why am I here in this complicated place? And how do I get out? So Krishna makes it complicated so that we can get out. Well, I got a question here. I don't know who asked it, but it says, if we depend on Vapu association, what is risk in our future spiritual life when Vapu association will not be available? By Vapu association, can we cultivate dependency on Vani? Well, to tell you the truth, I only saw Prabhupada 3 times. And not so much Vapu association, because we were busy, Sankirtan. I think many devotees, not everyone had the privilege or the opportunity to be at the close circle around Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, because Vapu is very important, but of course if there's a festival and wherever Prabhupada would go, great enthusiasm was there and they would drive all night long, whatever it would be. But it's also was rare. And Prabhupada, he ended his mortal leela here. How many years has it been? It's almost 40 years and seven. So many years have gone by. And when you hear Prabhupada's lectures, do you feel Prabhupada's presence? You know, when you're listening to Prabhupada, his humor, his determination, his clarity, his boldness. And you feel like you're in the room with Prabhupada. So, the Vani is actually more important than Vapu, because the spiritual master is present in his words, and his sincere followers can feel his presence in his words. So, we don't want sentimentalism. Not that, oh, my guru, just seeing my guru, I'm so happy. Yes, you should be happy. But you need to cultivate the knowledge and understanding that the guru is giving that'll give you strength to continue on. Because Krishna comes from the heart as super soul as the instructing spiritual master, the initiating spiritual master. So there's no difference for the spiritual master. When you have a godbrother of your spiritual master or other instructing spiritual masters, they're also super soul giving guidance. So other question, comment? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, I think the microphone is necessary. My hearing is not that great.
Thank you. So this is very interesting to me, this what you said about people knowing they're doing something wrong or knowing they're doing something good, like about the Paramatma. And I was thinking about this much, and I think this is a really good experiment, and by really looking within ourselves, right? And even the biggest atheists, they know when they do something wrong or something right, right? They have this feeling from within that I've done something bad, or oh, I should not do this. Most of the people, they have an experience of karma. And when I sometimes try to present, they say, oh yeah, yeah, this makes sense, like the karma. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we establish a stronger contact with, if we're chanting properly, we establish a better contact with Paramatma, right? So this to me is more like a comment. It was very interesting. I mean, like to experiment, to listen to the voice from within, to our intuition, right? And then the only problem is self cheating here. And that is the point. I believe that some like me or anybody else like can we have our limitation or conditioning, and we are dependent on external sources like a spiritual master to give us to help us when we come to a point that we cannot leave our material attachments. We start to cheat ourselves. We start listening to Paramatma, and then I believe here is like when really dependent on Guru's mercy. This is my
yes. Well, that's what Paramatma does. He lets people understand what is right, what is wrong, and also by following this process of chanting the holy name, it becomes, verified. You actually feel the presence of the Lord. I don't know if I understood fully what you said, but basically what the discussion of the class was, that the Lord in the heart is giving guidance, and certain people may choose to accept the right thing to do, and other people may not choose to accept it because of the false ego or the desire to continue trying to enjoy this world. They have not fully satiated their idea of being independent enjoyers. So we should follow the good instruction of the super soul and the guru. Any final question? Yes, guru. Money. Without money, what are we going to do? Yeah, Krishna is the most opulent, and Krishna, he just like Prabhupada gave the example of, he came to America with only 40 rupees, and in a short time he had 40 crores of rupees. So Krishna, he provides, and it depends. It's like a doctor, he gives certain medicine to certain individuals according to their disease. And he may withhold sometimes a person who has maybe tuberculosis, he should not eat like chapatis, this, that, and everything else. And, you know, he has to follow a certain regimen. So it may appear at times, our society was very poverty stricken when we first began. We were all, I remember in our ashram where I joined, we had like 26 people in one room sleeping on the floor. So you think, wow, that's pretty, you know, for 70 people, you have like three bathrooms, you have three, four people in the room at the same time. It's a little bit austere, and you think, well, gee, if you had some money, you could provide proper facility. But now we're seeing in Delhi alone, there's like 11 beautiful temples coming up, and there seems to be opulence coming. Every day we have, I think, 60 outfits for the deities. This is opulence, this is money. But the money is being used for Krishna. Like a parent to a small child will give maybe, you know, 50 cents or a dollar, okay, you go buy your, but for a child who's grown, who's responsible and will utilize those funds in the proper way. So Krishna, he reciprocates according to our maturity and development, but we cannot analyze it, you think, well, gee, Prabhupada was such a pure devotee and he had no money. You know, we can't see it from a mundane vision. Krishna's the most opulent. He can give it. He can take it away. All we know is that we're servants of Krishna. Whatever Krishna gives, we use for his service. He often says that sometimes people work hard, make crores and crores of rupees. Let me give that to my children, my family, and I'll go surrender to Krishna with my japa bag. No, Prabhupada, Krishna knows that you're cheating. Your hard work, your hard labor, and all this opulence you think that you earned, that Krishna allowed you to earn, you should use that in Krishna's service. That's the yukta vairagya, the proper utilization of wealth. So whether wealth is there or not there, we just serve Krishna. If Krishna provides it, we offer it to Krishna and use it. But we should not make an extra endeavor to go out of the way of developing our Krishna consciousness, because there's a predestiny of how much wealth everybody is entitled to. Somehow or other, we may believe that or not, but you're destined to have a certain amount of wealth. Two people are working with the same brain power, same capacity. One becomes very, very wealthy. The other one doesn't have enough to buy even a chapati. Anyway, this is destiny, karma na daiva na trena. So thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.